We are ready to start, and let me welcome Giordano, who will talk about CRDTs, end-to-end encryption, permissions, and JAS. Let's welcome him with a round of applause.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Okay. So thank you, Nico, for the intro. My name is Gio. I'm a software engineer at Guardian Computing. As I mentioned, today we'll talk a bit about CRDTs, end-to-end encryption, and how JETS does permissions. Before we start, I would like again to take a moment to recognize or acknowledge one of the main reasons we are all here today. How many of you have read this paper? So, of course. Well, I mean, if you haven't, I highly suggest that you do. This is a literally gold mine. To me, what I found especially interesting about it, aside from all the technicalities, which are of course interesting, was a simple but I think very powerful idea. What if your app worked offline, synced magically when connected, and you, in all of this, retain control of your data? And yes, I know it's 2026, like we have 5G everywhere, but also, I don't know if you heard last year, guess where I live? So yeah, if you don't know, we had a power outage in Southern Europe that lasted for a couple of days and everything went nuts. So let's talk about the real problem here. Imagine we have two people, let's call them Bob and Linda. They want to work on something together. Both of them are offline because reasons. Now, Bob starts saying, the cat is blue. A few moments later, Linda comes in and says, the cat is yellow. So now, what color is the cat? No, it's yellow. Jokes aside, the thing is that with traditional approaches, like Nico was mentioning, there's not really any rule to define the behavior. The most common one is, let's say, a last rider wins approach. Basically, your state, so this is also the most common for complex data types. Basically, your state is effectively whatever comes last to your server. So in that case, Linda state would have won over Bob. The thing is that in this case, the state was whatever the server saw last. So if Linda and Bob talked to each other directly, each one would have had the state of the other, if that was just the basic rule. And you have data loss because you simply don't know where is the truth at the end. Another solution could be starting to do manual conflict resolution. You know, those UI where you get these models or pop-ups saying, oh, this is their edits, those are your edits, and the user picks what should be the final state or correct state. The downside of this is that I think I never heard anyone saying, I love solving merge conflicts. So I don't know if any of you does. But never heard of one, of anyone. And then last approach could be, in the traditional term, resource logging. So one person, like only a single person can edit or touch a resource or modify it at any given time. But that kills collaboration. So that was one of the main things I liked about the paper, which was allowing people to work on data also while offline, retaining control over the data. And plus, like, I don't really understand how people can really collaborate or like can communicate and get a lock on a resource if they're both offline and cannot communicate. So yeah, in this case, the cat is basically dead. Collaboration is over. We don't have anything. And this is where CRDTs come in. Now, how many of you knows what a CRDT is? Okay, let's say half of us. That's good. Okay, a CRDT, CRDT stands for conflict-free replicated data type. And they are data structures that are mathematically designed to merge without conflicts. And the key insight here is mathematical, in a sense that it's not on a best effort basis, or it's not heuristics. They are mathematically ensured to be to merge conflict-free. Let's look at an oversimplified practical example. This is kind of vibe coded CRDT, and it's a counter. As you can see, when we construct this data structure, we initialize with our node ID, so it's ourselves with our own counter zero, and then we can increment by adding whatever number we want to our own state. Then we can merge with other people's state. So in that sense, then we keep track of others, other changes over other peers that we sync with. And at the end, the final value is always going to be the sum of all peers' counters. And this ensures that eventually, when everyone syncs their data with each other, the final state will converge to the same one for everyone. Quoting the local first paper, we are not trying to resolve conflicts with these approaches. We are designing them away. And the main point here is eventual consistency. So in our case, with a well-designed CRDT, let's say one that mixes colors, all changes are persisted, they're preserved, and they're merged sensibly according to our own app logic. Everyone is happy, cat is green, and no one lost their work. A misconception here is that when I talk to people about merging or solving this kind of conflicts, or the work of everyone is preserved, they tend to think about it as if everyone works is preserving the history of the change. There are some implementation, some libraries that also retain the history of changes, so you can do time travel or get edits over time. But that's not an intrinsic property of CRDTs. Like, what they do is literally only having a consistent final state, which is mathematically provable. And there is also, for me at least, a useful mental model to think about them, which is, I think about CRDTs as local state with superpowers. If you're familiar with React, or I guess any other front-end library, really, you know your state. So basically, you have this local state that you can update, and React then, for you, updates the UI. When I think about sync CRDTs, I think about the same thing. So updating local state, which then triggers renders, but at the same time, syncing them to other devices. So the same state changes happen for everyone at the same time, or when they sync. So it's local first in the most pure way, let's say. Like, it's you write onto local state and you get instant feedback. In JETS, we do this by swapping out use state with use co-state, and co stands for co-value or collaborative values, which is our own primitives for synced CRDTs, let's say. And with this, we get magical synced state across multiple clients. And this basically changes the whole architecture, because in a traditional client-server architecture, we have our server holding all the logic, all the business logic, all the validations, and clients are just thin view layers that just present data. This has a few disadvantages, though. Like, first of all, you need to go over the network to do any update. And that creates slow UIs, and it's a bit frustrating. Like, we know how UIs can feel bad when the network is slow. And second, they are not available offline. Like, your server is down, there is no way you can make those requests. Most importantly, because your server holds the logic, so it's not on your client. With local first, on the other hand, we shift all the logic and permissions to the clients. They hold authoritative state. They hold all the logic. And they do the validations. They do everything themselves. And the middle part, the middleman, is just optionally a sync and storage layer so that can persist data long-term for caching or for whatever reason, but it's not authoritative. So the state is like the authorities are still all the clients. And yeah, with this inversion, the good thing is that servers or your infrastructure becomes a commodity. And in fact, if the sync server is that dumb, you don't really need to have one. You can just technically sync between clients, between each other, without needing to rely on a central authority or someone that syncs data for you. And this, I mean, as Nico mentioned before, gives us an amazing benefit. First of all, users control their data. Like, they are authorities over their data, and they own it. And most importantly for me, at least, as a front-end person maybe, is that operations are instant. You're effectively updating local state. So every write, every state changes is instant because it's on local disk, it's on memory. And then there is something else syncing to somewhere else. But the thing happens locally, and it's faster. And then, yeah. No, that's not true. No, they're offline first by default. So that's not what you're going to get with local first most of the times. There is an issue, though, which is kind of the elephant in the room when talking about local first applications. How do we stop users from doing nasty things? Like, they own the data. So how do we prevent people from reading data they shouldn't read or writing or modifying data they shouldn't be able to? In traditional context, the server is the gatekeeper. So the data is there, it does the validation, you own the server, you can perform checks. But the thing is that we just wanted to eliminate servers. We took them off the equation. So how do we enforce this? How do we make sure that no one does bad things? There are a few approaches, which are maybe too naive. We can just check on the clients. So we can implement our apps to check local state and see. And so your code can check if you should show the users the actual state. But, I mean, clients can be modified. So everyone can open your dev tools, change your code, and then access to data or modify things that they shouldn't. Second approach is having the sync server, so our sync infrastructure, validate the changes before forwarding updates to clients. The issue here is that we need smart server again at this point because we need to copy the logic of the clients on the server or on the sync servers to check which data can be synced to which client. And it also, so we need to copy validation logic, permission checks. So we are just reinventing a traditional backend. Third approach is just don't sync everything. So have only the sync server getting all the data, but then just check for permissions at the very end. But again, still we need custom logic and we lose the magic of CRDTs. How do we solve this? Jets does this. We are trying to tackle this problem with cryptography. Sorry, give me a second. So we use cryptographic primitives to enforce permissions in a fully distributed way. Now, Jets is not exactly, I mean, it is to some extent, but it's not exactly a full CRDT. But we have some similar properties, and we decided to have other trade-offs. So let's see how it works. We have Linda, if we have her performing Rolling Ashes over her updates. And then at the end, sign her latest hash with a signature. We can verify effectively that she was the one making those edits. Now, Bob can do the same. And this way we have a verifiable, an independently verifiable list of transaction in JETS and a final state. Now, in order to give people write permissions, we can store that information inside a group in JETS, which is just another co-value or another comap. So this way, we know in the group which user can modify things in the inside the state. On the other end, everything we need to give read access to people is instead of hashing those edits in plain text, we can just encrypt them and do rolling hashes over those encrypted changes and store the keys and give the keys to user that needs to read data. Where do we store the keys? Again, same co-value, so same group which have keys. At this point, doing permission changes just means